Welcome to the third episode of the Ground to Sound podcast. Thank you so much to everyone who's been listening. Thank you to those of you who have rated the podcast, please, 5-star rating. And to those of you that have been following the Instagram at the Ground to Sound Pod. Any interest in following me personally, that's at Stefan Alex Music to see what I've been up to musically, which these days has not been much, just like the rest of you. So again, thank you so much. It's been a trip. It's been really cool. This is just the first season. I'm planning on having 12 episodes this season. You've made it to number 3, so I appreciate that. And this episode actually features Eric Paquette, who I met just a few years ago through a mutual friend, and we hit it off pretty quickly. He was talking about his love of cold brew coffee, and he's just a great songwriter, great producer. We talk about his move to Nashville and his really interesting reimagined cover songs he puts together, which is really cool. And you can check those out on YouTube and on Instagram. He is I Am Eric Paquette. That's P-A-Q-U-E-T-T-E. I Am Eric Paquette on social media. So I'm really excited for you guys to hear this conversation. We can get right into it. Oh yeah, did I mention rate and review the podcast? Also subscribe. I appreciate those who are subscribed and probably don't even listen every week. I appreciate your laziness and your support, always. Anyway, thanks so much for making it here to episode 3. Here is my conversation with Eric Paquette. Got that cold brew going again.
Always,
cold,
dude.
The cold brew king is here.
Yeah. Yep, I have arrived.
How are things, man?
Good, man. Good. A lot of good things the last couple of weeks, man. We just locked in our place in Nashville.
Beautiful. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. We're excited.
We're at like right in Nashville, right outside.
So we're in East Nashville. We just got a house with some friends.
Nice.
Yeah, it's like it's 10 minutes from downtown. So 10 minutes to our mutual friend, Carlo. Mm-hmm. And it's 5 minutes from my girlfriend's school. And it's 4 minutes from Dose Coffee Shop. Really good coffee.
Nice. So what's the plan for you? Like once you get down there, I mean, I know things are crazy right now. You know, what are you recording a lot right now? Or are you looking at trying to eventually book shows?
I mean, as soon as venues open up, I'm going to start playing out live and get my project going. And as far as recording, I mean, I'm talking to you right now through my whole recording setup, and that's like an everyday thing. I mean, you see what Carlo does. I pretty much do the same thing, but I also work on my own music as well. So it'll be nice because I've been working with Desmond Child, who's an incredible songwriter. Carlo's been working with him too, but he's down in Nashville. So, I mean, the only difference is, I mean, we work remote. We send each other stuff back and forth. Only difference is I'll just be able to probably work at his studio when I get down there.
Yeah, which from what I hear is crazy.
Yeah, I haven't been yet, but.
Yeah, awesome.
So
we can get right into, I mean, I know you're a cold brew guy. So is that what your mornings usually look like? Are you just firing up the cold brew in the morning?
That's it, man. Yeah. I don't think I've drank hot coffee in a year. I've made my own cold brew, but I really just like buying from like different local coffee shops. I've got to find a place when I get to Nashville, which should be easy because there's like so many great coffee shops down there. But we get right now in Western Mass, we get cold brew delivered to our doorstep from this place called Monsoon Roastery. And they roast their own beans and it's awesome. It's good. Good stuff.
Nice. So it's just nice and easy. You're not yourself in the morning, right?
No, I used to, but I love cold brew, man. I love just like, and I drink it in like kind of small amounts. I use the same cup. I'll just like fill up like up to here mm-hmm. with cold brew, like yeah. very little, and then like a little bit of water, because the shit's usually really strong.
Yeah.
And then I just have a little bit of that in the morning, and then maybe a couple hours later, I'll have a little more, and then mm-hmm. a few hours after that, it's, I keep a steady flow.
Yeah. So you said you haven't had hot coffee in like a year, and what did coffee drinking look like to you, I don't know, 10 years ago? Like, when did it really start for you?
I love that we're really talking about coffee right now. it's such a passion of mine. 10 years ago, it started off probably like just crappy Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Because that was just, I mean, I don't even feel like there was as many Starbucks around. Well, actually, no, that's not true.
I mean, 10 years ago, probably not.
No, there was. I'm thinking about when I first started drinking coffee, which is like in high school.
Probably longer. Okay.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so I was just crappy Dunkin' or just like whatever through a Mr. Coffee mm-hmm. or Denny's coffee, like diner. You go to like a diner to get coffee. But I don't know. It's progressed over the years, and especially like quitting drinking alcohol. Like this is my last thing. So I'd like to try to drink the good stuff, you know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's good to find out what you really like. And I know that takes time. That takes time for everything and for everybody. But once you do, I mean, it's great. You may as well just enjoy it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, when we moved out of Nashville, I want to get like a little pour over situation.
Mm.
And nice. Just like the single cup kind of like thing.
Yeah, and, for sure.
I'll probably try some hot coffee like that. I've just been waiting just because like with the move and everything, it's like we're trying so hard not to buy more things. We still are buying more things, but it's we're trying not to.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, you'll need the grinder and the little pour over situation. I got into that a couple of years ago, and it's nice. Yeah. It's a nice little process in the morning for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I feel you.
So what's your experience been like playing in bands and traveling? Have you done much of that? I actually don't know too much of your history music.
I mean, it's honestly similar to what I understand your path has been. I kind of grew up, I started my first band in seventh grade. We played our first, I probably played my first show before that, like when I was like 11. Mm-hmm. And then first band, seventh grade, and then like, you know, high school hit and we started to kind of take a little bit more seriously. We put out a couple records on our own. And then right out of high school, I was just like, I knew what I wanted to do all through high school. You know, I knew I wanted to do music. And there were so many like local bands that we looked up to that were doing it and making it. So we were like, you know what, like those guys can do it. We can do it. You know, why not? Mm-hmm. So right out of high school, I booked our first two tours. They were horribly unsuccessful. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. We had some good shows, but most of the shows were terrible. But we would go to malls and sell CDs. I don't know if you ever did that in your band.
Of course.
With the headphones and be like, hey, do you have a second? Like, it was perfect because we were young. So like, we just go up to like kids hanging out in Hot Topic. And like, mm-hmm. if I did that now, it'd be just weird and creepy. Yeah, and like people don't like, it was a lot before social media was it's gotten now. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like people were more likely to just wanted to talk, you know, not everybody had their heads and cell phones at the mall as they're walking. You know, it's like you can make eye contact with people a lot easier. Yeah. But so those tours were okay. And then like later on, the band started getting more serious. We started working with producers with Universal and just like basically we're in this production deal to try to like a development deal to showcase mm-hmm. for labels. And in that phase, there was another tour we did, which was like a more serious tour. Was a few other bands and we did like the full US. It was like 28 shows in 31 days. And that was awesome. Cause we did South by Southwest and like, that was a successful tour. Like mm-hmm. we didn't lose any money. Let's just put it that way.
Then that's
like, we broke even, which is crazy.
That's a huge success.
Somehow.
Absolutely.
But that's pretty much my experience. And then like, I've been doing like, since that band ended and I've kind of focused more on the songwriting side for a bit, and then in production, and I've learned all that. And now I've been kind of trying to switch. I'm kind of just in the phase now where I'm like, all right, you know what? Like that's one whole thing for me, another side. Mm-hmm. Like I'll always have that. But with my project right now, I'm trying to start it in, like, I want to start it in a city where like there is the industry. And like, I'm from Western Mass and there's really not there. I have to travel to New York. I'd have to fly to LA for shows, but, or fly to Nashville. But that's one of the main reasons of getting that. Why me want to get down to Nashville is to be able to start a band in that city and be able to have an actual the industry is there and the music community is very strong there.
Yeah. I mean, between LA, New York and Nashville, there are definitely pockets of music scenes all around the country, but
oh yeah,
New York, LA and Nashville, which you've spent time in, you know, you talk about the community. When you look at Nashville, are you thinking, oh man, that's so country? Because a lot of people think of Nashville and think country, right? And I know
that
it's growing.
Yeah.
I know it's growing. Have you seen any other stuff come out of there? Like some...
Yeah, I mean, there's so many great rock bands that come out of there. Like the All Time Low guys live down there. Cage the Elephant's from there. There's a few new venues that have popped up, multiple venues over the years that have just been rock show, like the High Watt and... Mercy Lounge are just all rock and alternative bands. Mm-hmm. I went to like the BMI 8-on-8. There was a thing they were doing before COVID hit. And it was just like, every time I was down there, they'd be doing this thing. And there'd be 8 different artists. And most of them were really talented. It was all rock and pop. Hmm. There's so much great music that comes out of Nashville. That's not just country. And there's a lot of country that I like too. I do country writing as well. I mean, it's not what I do personally, but I love the production side of it. Like when I'll make a track, I get to play like, it's basically rock riffs with just a little more twang and bends to them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, stylistically, it wasn't always my thing growing up, but now I've just become, I mean, once Spotify hit, forget it. You can just spend hours on that. And I'm listening to hip hop and alternative stuff and country stuff and more pop stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's really, you know, the music ADD is really hitting me pretty hard, which I don't.
Oh yeah,
I don't love that. I mean, I share the same experience where you I'm sure it would go out, buy the CD, and that was it. You put the CD in, and that's the only thing you can listen to is those 10 songs.
And even if you didn't like the CD, you spent time enough with it till you did like it, which that's like something that a lot of people don't like. It's like you got to get people on the first listen.
Yeah,
it's all about singles now. You know, it's all about singular songs. Most people aren't. I'm still album geared. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still always waiting for that next album that I can like dive into and listen to. You know.
Yeah, I think with Spotify, a lot of artists are definitely not going. It's very single based. You know, very 2-3 songs here and there.
Well, it's because you got to. It's like content. It's just like social media. It's like you got to keep putting things out like one at a time. Like it doesn't matter how much. It's just more of like, it's not about the piece. It's more about like how much are you putting out, like by the week, by the month, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of 12 songs at once, you know?
I heard something about, I don't know which rapper specifically, in general, these whatever we consider SoundCloud rappers, that they're actually making songs on purpose about 1.5 to 2 minutes long so that you can stream them and listen to them much quicker so that they get more streaming numbers. You know, if you're...
I didn't even know that was...
I heard that somewhere and I'm like, oh, wow. So Spotify is changing the way people are actually creating music. You know, they're making them really short. You stream through them quickly.
Yeah.
Now I mean, that's, you know... It's interesting.
A lot of the SoundCloud rappers too, and like stuff like that, like a lot of it's good, but a lot of it is very, it's not like, it's like throw, it's a lot of it's just kind of just like quick, let's go. It's not about, it's about as much as you can get out, as fast as you can get out. And I think that's cool, but I think that, I don't know, I'm more into like legacy artists, like people that are like bands like the 1975 or like, even Kanye West, like just artists that are like, you know, it's all part of a bigger picture or they're spending the time to make that track awesome, you know? Cause you could tell when something's like, and make it big quick, but you could tell what's going to last and what's not going to last. yeah. you know, what you're going to still hear in 5 years or 10 years. That's the kind of music I'm interested in making, stuff that's like going to stick around a little bit.
Yeah. Know? And
hopefully,
so much of that,
hopefully.
Of course. I mean, so much of that depends on the foundation that you build underneath it. If you look at the band that came out in the early 2000s, if you think of a band like Paramore, you can tell they spent those years touring and touring and touring, then they blow up. So then when they're mm-hmm. not on the radio anymore and the average person might not be listening to them anymore, they still have this huge audience that's going out to their shows because they spent years building that. As opposed to, you don't play any shows, you happen to get a song on the radio, you explode, you know, and then you have nothing to fall back on. Your audience is...
I mean, that's most pop artists, unless you get to that next tier of like, I mean, that's like Jason Derulo. I mean, he's a pop artist that's had numerous successful singles that like barely any people go to his shows because he's just not that type of artist.
Right.
Or anyone that's like on the hot AC format, like stuff that like, there's so many people that like, I don't know what the station is near you in New Jersey, but just like kind of the adult contemporary, like if there's so many bands on there that just people, they don't know the name of the band. They know the song and that's it, you know?
Yeah. And anyone can turn on the radio and hear that stuff, but it's that connection that the band or the artist has made with the fans that would make them want to go to the show. And that's being lost somewhere, even though social media gives them the ability to interact as personally as they can. With a lot of artists, it's still getting lost for sure.
Yeah. It's weird now because it's like, I want to be able to do that. But think about, there's just so many small bands that like aren't going to make it right now without the show. Mm-hmm. Like, because I mean, I'm seeing bands, they're booking out like 2021. Like bands are like, people are hopeful that like there's tours that are happening in 2021 next summer. So that's a year from now. So that's just crazy. Like a whole year, almost 2 years of no live music. Like,
it's wild.
There's going to be some serious effects, after effects from that. But I mean, for me, it's kind of like, you know what, this sucks, but I'm just so glad that I have the tools at my fingertips, like to be able to produce and create. Like, I'm just going to like use the social media platform that I have to keep just pumping stuff out. Like, as soon as we get down to Nashville, I'm just going to start putting out demos because like there's songs that I'm kind of saving that are like, you know, like stuff that I really want to put out a little bit more officially, but I'm just going to start pumping out music just because there is no other way right now. There is no life. There's no way to get the face to face and build that thing. So I think the only way is to just content and just, you know, and that's why I do the covers too. It's like, that's how you can kind of make new, just build your community.
Yeah. I mean, and I definitely want to talk about those covers because I have a Spotify playlist of maybe 150 cover songs. It's just all cover songs, a ton of songs that I end up loving. I probably heard a cover version originally, and half the time I probably like that cover version better. That's just the way that I've been listening to music lately. How do you go about choosing those songs?
So there's two ways. One, I just either like, I love the song and it's a favorite song of mine. Like, or it's just like, I have some sort of like attachment to it. Like I just did a cover of Story of a Lonely Guy by Blink-182. I don't know when to put it out, but I just did it because I love it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I did so far. It's like, it's just vocals. Like I did it with a vocoder and I haven't figured out if I might put an instrument with it. I might not. I'm going to just make it weird, but I did that because I love it. And then the other way I choose covers is I pick a song that's like not my genre and like, so either like hip hop or like a female singer. I just try to do something of the opposite of what I do and try to put my stamp on it of like, so you can kind of hear me doing that in like a different way. And if it's a good song, then like it's easy. It's easy to do. It'll still translate. I mean,
Right.
Of course. You can see like that, like a good song, you could do country, you could do pop, you could do rock, you could do like, you know, and I usually pick those ones. I try to pick something that's like happening now because I do it so that like, because a lot of people are looking that stuff up. So I do it because I want to try to reach more people. You know, when you put something out there just with the hashtags and you can reach more people that way.
Yeah. And if you can strip a song down to its bare bones and it's still a great song on the acoustic guitar, on the piano, then it just is what it is. And then what's really cool, what you do is you kind of reimagine the entire thing. And so you'll take a song I thought was one thing and you've completely turned it in another direction, which is really cool.
Yes.
Is that something you've been doing for a long time?
No, I started doing it when quarantine hit. I wish I'd started sooner because I don't really have a lot of numbers right now to begin with. Like on social media, because I just spent so much time in just the writing, like honing the artistic, like the musical side. That's it. And I was traveling a lot to do that. So when that all stopped, I was like, you know what? My manager was telling me to do it too. I really got to focus on doing the social media stuff. And I've had some friends that have had a lot of success. Their following has just blown up from doing covers. So I was like, you know what? It's working for them. How can I do it my way? How can I do it, you know, different from everybody else that's doing it?
Yeah.
You know, and it's worked. I've doubled my following since this happened.
Awesome.
And which isn't huge right now, but it's like, it's growing. And that's all I care about.
Yeah. And people are paying attention for sure.
Yeah. And if people are, I'm meeting so many people over the internet and so many different artists from all over the country. And, you know, I haven't really done any collabs that way yet, but I mean, I'm sure that will come about, you know, too.
Yeah. Going back to Story of a Lonely Guy, Blink-182 off of Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. Not one of their well-known songs for sure. So it's awesome that you just love it. You're just going to do it. That was, and Carlo might even remember this, when we were in high school auditioning to even be in the Battle of the Bands, that's the song.
You play that song?
That's the song we played to audition. And I'm like, do we choose a song that we just love or a song that everyone's going to kind of know to play? And we just went with that one and we auditioned with it. We didn't end up playing it at the Battle of the Bands, unfortunately, but we did audition.
Oh, shit. Have
such memories of that
oh, that's
time.
Awesome.
Now, so that's like 2001. Is the Eric from 2001, you know, listening to Blink and kind of like that skater? Because that was the thing. You wore
tailors
and played the guitar and jumped up on stage, you were probably going to get a record deal just because of, you know, everyone was being signed like that. I mean,
yeah. Was that a good era for bands?
For sure.
I didn't get the deal, but
no. No, but I mean, back in 01,
we just did it. I mean, in 01, I was like 12 or 13. So it was like,
Yes.
We were just pumped to be able to play the seventh grade dance, you know, and the town fireworks.
Oh, this is, same gigs, man. Same gig. It's the best.
Yeah, we had I had the tube socks and the Chuck Taylors and the shorts that were like past the tube socks, so you couldn't even see my leg.
Yeah.
And classic. Then we had, you know, classic band tees and Hurley shirts.
Yeah.
Yep, the Dickies shorts. I actually just got some tube socks again. I'm literally like dressing like I was when I was 12.
I've gone back too, man. It's weird. So weird.
They're coming back, man.
I'm like looking for band shirts, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, I've loved this band for years. I don't even have a t-shirt. Let me go find a t-shirt of them. What's going on, man? We're just hitting like a,
I have some dude, but I know it's like, but I wore everything like extra small, skin tight shirts and baggy pants. Now I wear the opposite. I wear baggy shirts and tight pants. So like, it's just, it doesn't work, man. I can't wear those. I actually took my old Misfits shirt though and cut off the logo, and my Gabby, my girlfriend, sewed it on the back of a jacket.
Oh, I may have seen a picture of that. I saw pictures of you with the jacket. Yeah.
Yeah. That was actually so I was really lucky. My senior year of high school, we got to open up for the Misfits.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's what the shirt is from. So that's like, it's special. It means a lot to me. I'm glad I still can wear it in some way.
Was that in Massachusetts?
Yeah, it was in Northampton, Mass, at a venue called Pearl Street, which is kind of like Western Mass is sort of like a B market for a lot of touring bands. Like most bands will go through Boston.
Yeah.
We're like on the whole other side of the state, like hour and a half west. But a lot of smaller bands or just bigger bands would do that Sorry, got a weird notification. They would do Northampton as like a B market type thing, but they, Pearl Street is like a cool venue. We grew up playing there, and like it was one of those venues with like two levels. So like the club room had like, I don't know, 300 people in the basement, and then like the above had like, you could fit like 700 to 1,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the best. Like you can play upstairs and play downstairs. It's like one day and you go play the upstairs venue, you know?
Yep. We did it too. When my old band released our CD, one of our CDs, we were able to play the upstairs and then open up for bands upstairs. Mm. But so many good bands, like early 2000s bands came through there. Like I saw the Used when they were first coming up there. I don't know if you remember Andrew WK, I saw him.
Yeah,
but a lot of good bands still go through, you know?
Yeah, some of those bands are still kicking, playing smaller venues probably, but for sure they're still kicking. Yeah. You know, so in your touring days, did you find yourself stopping into cafes a lot and going that route when you were out on the road?
Not as much. I would do that now, but I haven't toured in my, in like recent years. It's been all like one-offs. Like I'd fly to LA for a show or drive or take a bus down to New York for a show. But in the touring days, it was more like, I don't know, that last big tour we did, it was very much just, there wasn't a lot of time for that. It was just like, you know, you'd have to play a show and then like, as soon as you're done, you get back on the road and you drive, you know, through the night to the next show. And a lot of that was like food and coffee was like an afterthought.
Yeah.
We were stocked up on booze.
Yeah.
We were stocked up on booze, but that was pretty much it for that tour. Now it's a lot different. Like that's be the highlight. I'd try to give myself enough time to check out some good coffee shops.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing for sure.
Yeah.
Now you got into production. You said you were young, playing in a band, going to work with producers. Were you the guy kind of looking over the shoulder, being like, oh, you know, kind of learning through watching other people and thinking like, I could use that ability?
Yeah, so I was always the primary songwriter in my band. And so anytime we did a record, it was I was like running the ship. And I didn't really realize that kind of was producing. Mm-hmm. Like I would kind of be like, okay, try to play this and do that. Like it was just that was just our dynamic. It was like nobody like, and I grew up playing, we were like so young we started. So it was just like, okay, you do this, you do that. I didn't know that was production until I got a little bit older. I was like, oh, I'm already doing this. So when we started working with producers and I saw like, they kind of just were like, all right, you're the one who's writing the song. So like, let's work on this together, you know? And like, I watched for so many years, just watched how people were running the board, running Pro Tools, running Logic. And I don't know. It's weird. I kind of fell into it after like watching for so long. It was kind of out of just, I started production out of like, it was like a necessity. Cause like, I was tired of waiting on producers a lot of time too. Like that was really out of that. Like we were making like, you know, like we just kind of, I just wanted to do it. I could see it. I'm like, all right, I should be able to do this myself. You know what I mean? That's how Carlos started producing too. Like both of us were we were both focused more on like songwriting, but then we're like, wait a second. If we're writing all the parts, the only thing we're not doing, if we're coming up with everything, is just running the computer. So why can't we do that? You know?
Yeah, for sure.
And then a couple years later, both of us had songs on the radio that we produced. When I had producers telling me that I couldn't produce and to stick to my job. And there's a lot of that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you go into sessions with a lot of different people, you meet a lot of characters and stuff, you know, but that's really cool. You got to learn that stuff. And I know Carlo had that same experience. I mean, he was the main songwriter when we were playing in bands together. So it only made sense that he was going to go in that direction.
And in terms of,
you know, production, it just felt right. You know, why wait on somebody else?
Yeah, exactly. And like, you don't just like, like him, I didn't like, you didn't really plan on it. It's just sort of like you started doing it. And that's just, if you're continuing music, that's usually just the way it goes.
Yeah. And I'm managing a producer right now, and we're always looking for
top lines. I heard that. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's been really cool. We're just kind of, he's been sending me a bunch of tracks. It's like, all right, great. Let's find these top line guys. And then I'm like, man, I wish we could just like do it all together. But I think that kind of brings it to another point, which is to really stick with what you know you're good at, you know? Mm-hmm. So if there are people who like, hey man, I'm not the lyric guy, I'm not the melody guy, I can produce a dope track though, or vice versa, you know? So when you first came in the game, did you have that confidence? Like what, when you first got confidence, what was it in particular?
It was, I still think my strengths are the biggest strengths I have are melody. My first strength is melody, and then lyrics, and then production after that. Mm. Or maybe melody, production, then lyrics. I don't know. But melody was my first thing. That's just like, I feel like that's why people would want me in a session. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, that was just it. And I think that is important in sessions too, to just like play to people's strengths. If there's someone that's a better producer than me, they should produce the track.
Right.
You know, if there's someone that's a better lyricist than me, the thing is that with lyrics and melody, I feel like that's just something that like, you know, you just work it out, you know?
Yeah. It can go hand in hand for sure. I mean, how have your lyrics changed from, you know, the 13, 14 year old you to now? What has that change been like?
So 13, 14 year old me was writing about boners and diarrhea. Now
I've heard those songs. Yeah.
I don't write about those things. Now it's just, I don't know, man. It's just everything. I write all the time. I wake up every day and, I just write to write. And I don't know. It's just an ongoing, it's sort of just a mindset now. It's just, I'm always trying to figure out what I can translate from life into a song, you know?
Are there particular artists you look at where it's like, I've always loved the lyrics from this band or this artist? Is there any of that?
Yeah. I mean, like I love, some of my favorite lyrics to date are like, go back to like music I was listening to when I was younger, but the first album by Third Eye Blind is like, those lyrics are incredible. That album just set the tone for me.
That's the one right before Semi-Charmed, or that's the one with
Semi-Charmed? No, that was it. That's the one with Semi-Charmed. Okay, okay. That record is incredible. I mean, Seven-Charmed Life, dude, like those lyrics are awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people don't follow that. I mean, once there's a pop song, I know a lot of people who couldn't tell you what the artist in their favorite song is saying.
Yeah.
You know, which is one thing. But then you have a lot of the bands we probably listen to. You know, I always go to Incubus was one of my favorite bands and still is one of my favorite bands. Yeah. And Brandon Boyd, his lyrics always stuck out to me. He took something
that
could have been so simple to say, but he says it in such a different way, like I've never heard before.
Yeah, he's got great lyrics, man. And honestly, dude, like a lot of great, like Biggie Smalls, like if you listen to his lyrics, it's like, I love that. It's like storytelling.
Yeah.
It's like, you're right there, you know, like, yeah, I don't relate to, there's a difference. Like with Stephen Jenkins' lyrics, Third Eye Blind, I can like relate. With Biggie Smalls, it's like, he's telling me a story and I can visualize it. I can listen and you're right there. And then just like his flow too, like rhythm and stuff is amazing, you know?
Yeah. But that's a cool thing. Yeah.
Lyrics. I mean, melody too is for me, that's like the first thing that grabs me. And that's probably why what you just said too, like a lot of your friends don't even really know that, just like hear a pop song, don't really know the lyrics or what the artist is singing about, is because that's the power of melody. It's like, it can hook you and you think and you can sing along and remember it, but it's like lyrics always came second for me, you know? Mm-hmm. I care about them, but it's like melody is the thing, man. That's like it, with no words, that's the thing that can like strike your soul. And it's like babies remember melodies, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's, I've always had that conversation with people. I said, you listen to these really catchy pop songs and you break it down, it kind of just sounds like a lullaby. There's something, something very, very simple, not to downplay it, but there's a simplicity to it that is actually really hard to do.
Exactly. And that's the goal. That's the whole goal. It's like, that's what I'm trying to do, is try to fit real authentic feelings and myself into like that infrastructure of melody, something that's simple, memorable, and like just kind of just keeps the brain with, like, keeps the open pathway of your mind where you don't have to try too hard to follow it, but like it can catch you and grab you if you like listen repeatedly, you know? I mean, look at the Beatles. Like, those are like all nursery rhymes. Look at even Nirvana.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why everybody, yeah, everyone's inspired by the Beatles and even Nirvana. I mean, you talk to great songwriters, they'll usually tell you, you know, the Beatles inspired me on, you know, writing melodies and stuff.
Yeah. Cause it's, I mean, Paul McCartney, I love, I watched this footage of him, and it was in like when they're making a Let It Be or something, and him and George Harrison are having like a little argument over guitar part. And Paul McCartney just says it right there. And it's like, it's always stuck with me. It's like, he's like, all right, let's just keep it simple, complicate it where it needs complicating. So make it simple first and then add layers, you know, then add the little stuff. Cause it's like the simpler you make like the core, the more you have room to build around it. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. You can really say both things about the Beatles. You can say the melodies were simple, some parts were simple, and then you go and try and learn them on the guitar and you're like, wait a second, I thought this song was really simple.
Yeah.
Why are there so many chords in this song?
I know.
It's so hard to learn, you know?
Yeah. I think, yeah, it's true. But they make it feel, I mean, there's a difference in that too, like making it feel simple, making it flow. You know, sometimes it's not necessarily like just a couple chords. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's just, yeah, I don't know. It's sometimes it's the simple melody with the moving chords and vice versa. You have complicated melody with very simple chords. Mm-hmm. I mean, Blackbird's like pretty, it's not the easiest song playing guitar.
No.
And it sounds so simple.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's definitely that give and take, really trying to service what the song is. And that's really the job of any producer or any band, and figuring out what parts need to be its most basic form and what parts you can play around with.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really hard skill. I always think back to Blues Traveler, the song Hook.
Yeah.
The lyrics of that song where he's telling you that he's saying nothing in the song, and that the only thing that's good, that the only reason why you're going to keep listening to this is because of the hook.
You know? The melody.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the first line of the song is, it doesn't matter what I say as long as I sing with infliction.
Yep. He's exactly right, because, and that, dude, I didn't even know either for years. Because I was young when that came out, and like I wasn't hearing the lyrics. I was like little, but that melody stuck with me forever.
Yeah,
you know.
And all he's saying is like, look at this. I can say whatever I want, but
I know it's awesome.
But the hook is there, that. So you guys are gonna listen, which is great.
Yep. Yeah, and he's right, and that's pop music for you.
Yeah. So. Future for you, I mean, you have the original project you're working on, you still have some covers that you're going to be releasing, right? So once you get down to Nashville, how does that process kind of look for you?
I might try to release a cover before I leave. And I have a couple things in motion. I'm just waiting on some visuals because I want to put some stuff up on YouTube for my own stuff, just a couple demos. Mm-hmm. But for me, like right now, this whole year has been transition, and I'm actually selling most of my stuff and getting new stuff when I get down there. So it might take me a little while to get everything up and moving, like studio wise, but as soon as it's all set up, it's game time, you know?
Yeah. And you're going to try and get that band going and play shows.
Yeah.
You think you'll do?
Yeah. I mean, right now I have, yep. So like, yeah. So right now, depending on how this whole thing happens with COVID and how, you know, how long it takes for live music to come back. I mean, I already had Carlo said he'd drum for me. Mm-hmm. till he can't drum for me, till it's like, but if we're doing shows in Nashville, he's down to drum. And then, you know, Phil, he's trying to move down to Nashville too. As far as I know, he's shooting for September. So if that's the case, then that's keyboards, drums, me on guitar and vocals. And Phil plays bass too.
Or just forget Phil on the bass and I'll come down and play some bass. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
You got your whole band set up.
Hell yeah. I want to get another guitar player too as well.
Nice. Yeah, just fill out that sound for sure.
Yeah, and I think that'll be it. I like a 3 or 4 piece and we're good, you know?
Yeah. So where's the best place people can find you? I know you have the YouTube page, you have Instagram. Are those some of the best places?
Both those places those are the best places. If you just go to my Instagram, it's the handle is I am Eric Paquette at I am Eric Paquette. You can pretty much, there's a link always in my bio that has a link to everything else, YouTube and all that stuff. And then you can just search my name up on YouTube and I have a channel people can subscribe to too. I'm on TikTok too. Same thing at I am Eric Paquette.
Okay. Nice. So you think you're really, is it just as important for a producer as it is for an artist, you think, to really be pushing the social media?
Yeah, I think so. Personally, I think so.
Yeah. So just following along. I mean, I know every year there's going to be that new app that comes out and musicians are going to try and find their way on it, which is great for the industry. It's great for people and it's a new place for people to find them.
Yeah. I mean, however it works, man, it's like every generation thinks that the way they found music is the best way. Mm-hmm. It's just in us, you know, because that's just the first time we heard it. The first time it hit us, we have an emotional connection to that way, but the next generation doesn't have that emotional connection. They have what they have.
Yeah.
So if they have TikTok, they have Instagram, and that's the way they're going to hear it, that's the way to get to them, you know?
Yeah, that's really.
If it were up to me, like a lot of people, it'd be like, of course, I'd rather have like, it'd be records or CDs. Like, of course, you wish that people would still buy the CDs, but we're past that. You know, I still buy vinyl all the time. That's like pretty much the only thing that we're taking in our car down in Nashville are clothes and records. And a couple of instruments. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot of good music stores down there. I mean, you'll just a ton of vinyl. In fact, I follow a few.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. We buy it new too. Honestly, like if a band, like we bought the new Gabby and I bought the new 1975 record.
Okay. Well, actually, I was going to ask you what newer bands you're following these days. And I guess
I love them. Yeah. It's across the board for genres too. It's like, I like more like alternative, and even like Americana country kind of stuff, like, or indie country, I could say. Like Rustin Kelly is a big artist that I love, a newer artist. He's about to put out a new record.
Before I let you go, I do want to see if you have anything. Young songwriters, young producers who are trying to get into the game.
I think advice for songwriters and producers, let's see. If you don't love it, don't do it. Because this industry is one of the hardest industries to make it in. And if you're not passionate about it, then it's going to be a long time before you make any money. So don't do it for that. Do it because you love it.
Yeah.
And stay open, keep your mind and your heart open and always continue to fall in love and refall in love with the process. Cause that's what it's all about. It's not like, it's not trying to get the hit songs. It's not trying to, get the record deal, or the publishing deal or get whatever X amount of money. It's really gotta be about the art, you know?
Yeah.
At the end of the day. And if you're doing it for those reasons, then go for it. I mean, it's worth it, you know?
Absolutely, man. Thanks so much.
Of course, dude.
Appreciate you making the time.
Of course, man. Yes, dude. Let me know when you come down to Nashville.
Yes, so I will definitely
get some coffee and do this in person.
Yes, we will. 100%. Thank you so much. Well, I'll let you go.
Of course, man.
And yeah, man, good luck on your move. All right.
Thank you so much. Keep in touch, man.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Take care. Have a good one.
You too.